Today we're starting a new series called Branching Out. I've shared with you several times over the last few months that the vision that God's placed on my heart for our church is that we would be a church that bears fruit, that we would be a church that doesn't sit around and be comfortable, but that we would share our faith, that we would reach out to others for the kingdom, and that we would bear fruit. God's word in John 15 says that if we remain in Christ, we will bear fruit. That means not only will we grow spiritually, but we will invest in others, and other people will come to know Jesus through us. And so that's the big vision for 2024, and that only happens if every single one of us catches the vision that God wants us to go and bear fruit. And so today we're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 9, but before we do, I just want to kind of give you a truth and kind of a statement for this series. And that's this, that if you are willing and obedient, God will work to build his kingdom through you. I'm going to say this a couple more times. If you are willing and obedient, God will be faithful to work and build his kingdom through you. Sometimes we feel like we don't have what it takes. Maybe we're scared to share our faith or invite people because we don't think we're good enough or don't have the right things to say. Listen, if you are willing and obedient to God's calling, he will work through you to build his kingdom. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. That's straight from Jesus. So Matthew chapter 9, why don't you stand with me? I know you just sat. We like to get you a workout. I don't know how much you guys work out. But we stand and honor God's word. And we just sang a song, Spirit, come down, rest on us. Spirit, move. Listen, we believe that in reading God's word, we stand because we believe that God wants to speak to us through his Holy Spirit and through the word. And so Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages. He was teaching in their synagogues. He was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." You can have a seat. This passage, this story that we read takes place about 2,000 years ago. And in this story, Jesus is physically walking around community. He's walking around, he's seeing crowds, and what he sees is people that are helpless and hurting. And I love what he says here. We're going to get into this here in a minute, but I just want to say this. If Jesus were physically walking, we believe his spirit lives in us, we believe that God is all over the place, but if Jesus were physically walking through the streets of Westchester, Liberty Township, Mason, beyond, wherever it is you live, I think that this is completely relevant and true today. I think Jesus would have the same response and would give us the same calling today. So there are four things I want us to see that we learn from this. We'll start in verse 36. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed, they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The first question I want to ask you is this: how do you see the people around you? How do you see the people around you? The people every day when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the restaurant, when you go to work, how do you see the people around you? When Jesus was physically walking, he saw people and he saw them, and it says he had compassion on them. Now, tomorrow morning, I'm going to get on a plane and we're going to go to Guatemala. And every time I've gone to another country, especially when I go to countries where there's a lot of poverty, the same thing happens every time. I see people that are hurting, and my heart breaks. Every time I've gone, I've seen people, and my heart has been filled with compassion for other people. We went 3 years ago to Guatemala, and we saw the children of this northern Guatemala area, and we saw them, and our hearts were broken. Our teens went, and our teens were like, we want to do something about this. And that's how this whole Life Center partnership started, is because our hearts were broken for the kids and the people that we fell in love with the people. Here's the deal. It's easy to go to a, well, it's not easy to go to a different country, but you can go to a different country and it's easy to feel compassion for people that maybe are living in a different place. But when we walk around our own area, sometimes maybe we're tempted to see people and think, well, they've got everything they need, and we miss the fact that there is needs right here. We're called to go across the world and to invest, but we're called to invest right here. Jesus was walking around, and he saw the people, and it says he had compassion on them. The first thing I want you to see is that Jesus has a strong compassion for the lost in our world. And listen, I don't use that term in a derogatory way, the lost. I'm just talking about people who need Jesus. And as he walked around, he saw people and his heart was stirred. This word that he had compassion, it really means that he kind of had a gut reaction, like deep within him, he was stirred and he felt he loved these people and he had compassion on them. When we see the people around us, we need to learn to see them with the compassion of Jesus Christ. Why did he see them that way? Why did he have compassion? Why was his gut turning? It's because it says they were harassed and helpless. The truth is, it may seem like the people around you every day, it may seem like the people at work and the people at school and the people at the grocery store, it may seem like they're all good. But the truth of the matter is, if they don't have Jesus, they're missing something huge. It says they were harassed and helpless. I just said to Megan earlier this week, I said, it just blows my mind how every time I go on to social media or to the internet, just people are harassed everywhere. I mean, you could post something that is just an innocent statement, and it's amazing how people just come out of the woodwork to attack. People are harassed. People are helpless. Thursday, I was getting ready to come to volleyball league here at the church, and I pulled out my phone. I was about an hour from leaving, and I pulled out my phone, and I opened my email, and I had an email from Priceline, and it said, "Congratulations on your hotel booking in New York City." And I thought, wait a minute, I'm not in New York City. And so I thought, this must be a scam, so I checked what email it came from. Sure enough, it was Priceline. I went to my app. Sure enough, somebody had hacked into my account and booked a hotel in New York City with my credit card. And immediately, I started to panic. Immediately, I got on the phone with Priceline. "Hey, this wasn't me. You got to stop this. This wasn't me. $215. I did not authorize that. You can see the name is a different name. It's not me." And they said, "You know what, we can't help you." And I said, no, you can help me. You're gonna help me." I gotta confess, I really like to argue sometimes. I was like, "No, you can help me and you're gonna help me." And sure enough, "Nope, we can't help you." I spent about 5 hours on the phone with Priceline, with the bank, with the New York Police Department, with everyone. And I'm just gonna tell you, for about 5 hours, really until the next morning, I felt so helpless. I mean, there was nothing I could do. 5 different times I talked to them, and they said, "Listen, there's nothing we can do for you." I called the bank. "You got to wait till later and see how this plays out." I called the hotel. "Well, we'll work on it." "Well, I want to know." Have you ever felt helpless? Listen, that's a small thing. At the end of the day, that's a small thing. A lot of you have been through moments and times in your life where you felt completely helpless. Maybe a diagnosis, maybe a relational situation. The truth of the matter is, we may have the appearance or the feeling that we've got it all together, but the truth of the matter is, without Christ, we're helpless, we're lost, we're hurting. And so Jesus sees them and he has compassion on them. His stomach turned, his heart was broken. Listen, I don't want to paint too dark of a picture, because Jesus doesn't paint too dark of a picture right here. He sees people that are hurting, that are harassed, helpless. Listen, we live in a world that has a lot of darkness, has a lot of hatred, has a lot of stuff in it. But listen to the good news in verse 37. Jesus' response to what he saw was compassion. And then he says this: "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. When Jesus saw the brokenness and the pain and the harassed and helpless people, he didn't feel defeated. He saw a harvest. He saw people that God wants to work. Listen, I know this message may be largely directed at church people. I know some of you are new. I want you to know that Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one that we celebrated last week, resurrected from the cross, Jesus loves each and every person. And it's not just that Jesus is stirred to compassion, it's that he's working, that God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit are at work to bring help and life to people that are hurting. And so Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. I think what Jesus is doing here is kind of reframing the way we see the world around us. You've probably heard this kind of language. I think sometimes in the church we get kind of a defensive posture. I don't know if you've ever heard people say things like, they're taking God out of the schools. They're taking God out of this. The world is turning away. They're doing this. And listen, please don't hear me wrong. There are things that are happening that are troubling in the world around us. But sometimes it seems that Christians respond by becoming defensive and defeated. That's not how Jesus responds. He sees the brokenness and the hurt, and he says, there's a harvest right here. Listen, when we see brokenness in the world around us, we shouldn't shrink back. We should know that we serve a God who defeated sin and death. And he wants to work in the darkest places of our world. Our God loves all people. And Jesus says, there's a harvest. There's a harvest right in front of you. I think Jesus wants to reframe the way we see the people in the world around us. Not that we see, oh man, it's all going bad, but that we see the harvest. There's a great opportunity to bring people to Jesus. That's the truth. When you go see people around you at the restaurant, at the grocery store, at work, even at home, when you see people that are living against what God wants, it's not that God's kingdom is losing. It's that there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity. And I promise you that God wants to work. The harvest is plentiful. We need to see the opportunity in front of us. The good news is when you're surrounded by people that are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, guess what they're looking for? A shepherd. And if we point them to the right shepherd, the good shepherd loves them and cares about them. The second part of this, though, is that the workers are few. He says the harvest is right here. These people want a shepherd, but the problem is the workers are few. There's a lot of different research out there, a couple different things that I stumbled on. According to the Barna Research Group, 73% of Christians believe that it's their job to share their faith. That's a pretty good number. Probably should be higher. But 73% of Christians believe that it's their job to share their faith. But according to the research, only 52% of Christians have actually done something towards that. The research, that's one study. If you, Tom Rainer in his book, he says that the numbers are much more bleak than that, that only 2% of people actually invite other people to church. Listen, there's all these different statistics. The truth of the matter is this, that there is a harvest out there, that God wants to work in the lives of people that are hurting and broken, but there is a shortage of workers. There's a shortage of people that are willing to go out and share their faith. I want you to hear me really clearly right now. It's time for the church to stop feeling threatened and to start feeling called. It's time for us to stop being on the defensive and to start feeling called to share the love of Christ with the world around us. God wants to change the world that we live in, and he wants to work through us to do it. We are called to bear fruit. And so the The next logical progression is this. Jesus sees the people. His heart is broken. You know, he has compassion on them. He says there's a harvest right there, but there's not enough workers. So the natural progression is for Jesus to say next, well, go. That's not what Jesus says. He says this in verse 38. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. The natural thought in our mind is, we got to go fix this. We got to get to work. Husbands and wives, if you've ever read any books or if you're married, you know that sometimes women want to talk about what's going on. I've learned this. I haven't learned how to deal with this yet. But women want to tell you what's going on, what's wrong, and they want you to do what? Listen. Fix it. No, they want you to listen. They want you to listen. But we men, we like to fix things. And so there's this kind of disconnect where, you know, Megan will come home and be telling me, and I'm like, well, that's easy. Just do, no, that's not what I want. I love this because the natural thought in my head is, okay, there's a harvest right here. God has compassion on the people around me. Well, I need to get to work and I need to fix it. Jesus doesn't say, get to work and fix it. Now, let's be clear. Jesus is going to send them out, but he starts here. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. He starts by calling them to prayer. He starts by calling them to prayer. He says, ask. Four words I want to focus in on. This could be a sermon in itself right here. He says, ask. Spend time in prayer. Before you do anything about the world around you, the best thing you can do is to pray about it. Start with prayer. He says, ask who? He says, ask the Lord of the harvest. Those words are really significant. We might pass over them, but he's saying, ask the Lord of the harvest. Why does he use that term? Because it's God that's going to make the difference in the world around us. He's the Lord of the harvest. It's not that God needs us to fix things with our skills and abilities. It's that we need the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. When God sends out workers, things change. Amazing things happen. We are instructed to pray that God will send workers. And it goes on, it says, so ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. This word send is really interesting. It's not just like, you know, maybe if you're not busy, God, and we're not busy, maybe you could just kind of nudge us. Maybe you could give us some ideas. No, this word send means to drive out, to cast out. This is kind of the same word that was used when Jesus cast out demons and drove, you know, things, the money changers out of the temple. This idea is that it's a very active verb. It's ask Jesus, ask the Lord of the harvest to send us out. Here's what I think God knows that our tendency in the church, our tendency is towards comfort. And a lot of churches become country clubs for Christians where we come and we see each other and we're happy, but ultimately we're comfortable. Pray, man, this is serious stuff. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will cast us out, not cast us out of his kingdom, not kick us all out, but send us out. Light a fire under us. Get us going. Pray that the Lord will send out workers where? Into the harvest. All right, I got a couple of you with me. Thank you. Thank you, faithful few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send us out into the harvest. Listen, if the only place that we're praising God is right here in the sanctuary, we're blowing it. If the only place that you talk about Jesus is right here or in your connection group or in your Bible study or your small group, we're blowing it. Send us out into the harvest. We need to be called to go and to share our faith and to praise God all over the place. He says, ask, pray. So here's the deal. We're going into branching out. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about the different ways that God calls us to share our faith. Today, it starts with a simple thing. Pray. If Jesus were physically walking the area around us, he would see the people that you work with, the people that you shop next to, the people that you're at school with, people at the restaurants. He would see them and his heart would be turned with compassion. And he would say, there is a harvest all around us. There are people looking for a shepherd all around us. It starts with prayer. So here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you this week, I mean, you can do other stuff. You don't have to just do this, but I want you to do one simple thing, and that's to pray. There's probably some people whose names are on your mind or whose names have been on your heart for a while, especially if you've been around the church for a while. There's probably some people in your life that you've been thinking of that are kind of those people that you want to see come to know Jesus. Pray for them. Pray for them. The fourth thing I want you to see is that praying for God to send out workers requires two things. Number one, it requires compassion. And number two, it requires obedience. See, here's the deal. If we're not even compassionate enough, if we're not even passionate enough about seeing others come to know Jesus to pray for it, we don't stand a chance. Pray for it. And be willing to be obedient. See, Jesus tells these guys, hey, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Guess what's coming next? They're going. They're going out. So we pray because God gives us a passion for others, and we pray with a willing and open heart. I just want to tell you a little bit of my testimony really quick. Worship team, you can come on up. I've been in the church most of my life. I was a pastor's kid from my second birthday, or from when I was 2 years old. My dad became a pastor. He's been a pastor all my life. I grew up in the church right down the road at Tri-County. We were at that church for a couple years, and then we were at Springdale Church, and then we were in Texas and then Nashville and then here and all over the place. I've been in the church most of my life. And if I'm being really honest with you, for years, I was one of those people that hadn't shared my faith. And I felt content just saying, I mean, I'll be honest with you, even as a pastor, there were days that I thought, if I just do my job well, other people will share Christ with others, and then they'll come to me and I can do my job. And I never felt the passion and the calling to share my faith. I knew I needed to, but there was just a disconnect there. And God has gotten a hold of my heart. And God has placed 6 different people's names on my mind and my heart. And he's given me a passion not to be content with so-and-so sharing their faith or somebody else, but he's given me a passion to share my faith. And it starts with prayer. I pray the same prayer all the time. Lord, I pray for this person. I pray that you'll send somebody. I pray that somebody will come out, that a worker will go out to share their faith with them. But the second part is this. I say, God, open doors. Open doors for me to be obedient. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand with me, and as we sing this last song, we're going to sing I Speak Jesus. This week it's simple. I want you to be thinking of the people in your life, people you already know, friends, family, coworkers, that maybe are that harvest. Maybe they're in the harvest field. As we sing this song, you feel free to worship, feel free to sing, but be praying over those names. And this week, every single day, whether you've been a Christian for 50 years or you just came to know Jesus or God's just kind of working in your heart, commit yourself to pray every day that God will send out workers for the harvest. My prayer for our church is that God will light a fire just like he has under me, under every single one of us, because the harvest is plentiful. Just needs workers. Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts. I pray that as we walk the streets, as we go to work, as we eat lunch today, we will see people the way you see them. Pray that you would stir our hearts with compassion, Lord. And I pray this week that each and every one of us will be faithful to just lift others up in prayer. Put names in our heart. Lord, if there's not any names on our heart or faces in our mind, Lord, I pray that you would show us people that we can be praying for. And Lord, I know that you want to do incredible things in and through this church. I know you want to do incredible things in our community and in our country, Lord. And I believe you're going to do that through your church. So we commit ourselves to pray this week. Be with us now. We respond to you. We speak Jesus' name over the harvest field. We love you, Lord. Amen.